Got your Bibles this morning, and turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I love this verse because it's a reminder for me that how easy it is for me to be conformed to the world that's around me. When I'm fed a bunch of false information 24/7, then guess what? I begin to believe what I hear. I begin to be conformed to it. And he tells us as children of God, that says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a holy living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So, you know, he tells us that, you know, it's by God's mercy that we can present our bodies as a service to him. You see, there's so many people that are out there that are trying to sacrifice and do something for God. You hear it all the time. I'm going to do this for God, and I want to do this for God. And I can't find in Scripture where God asks you to do anything for him. Why does God need you to do anything for him? Think about that for a minute. Isn't that arrogant? And isn't that arrogant for us as a church to say that we're going to do something for God? When the scripture plainly says that he will work through us, that we are his workmanship, and then we're his utensils, if we cleanse ourselves from all unrighteousness, then we will be useful instruments of God. See how religion totally goes against. You can bring out scripture after scripture and start beginning to untangle the lies of religion. But we're to present that. That means how we live. That means how we think. That means our day-to-day walk. It's not just coming in here on a Sunday. It's not just presenting ourselves and fooling the person sitting next to us. It's being transparent. I struggle with this old nature. Just because I'm a preacher doesn't mean that I've reached some level of spiritualness that I can look down on you. But guess what? I've got the same burden you have. God comes in and rebirths me and gives me this new nature, but he leaves the old nature behind to be put to death by the Holy Spirit. And if I don't let the Holy Spirit do that, then I wrestle in the flesh with this. We got to let God do it. We got to let God come in and permeate us and put this old nature to death so that we can present ourselves to him as a holy living sacrifice, so that when I read his word and I keep his commandments. Again, read 1 John. It's very clear. It says, you say you love God, you're a liar if you don't keep his commandments. Jesus says, I'm not your friend. He says, I'm your friend if you do what I say. And see, religion comfortably leaves all the scriptures out. They don't tell you the whole truth behind scripture, so that you create a God that doesn't exist. And then it fails you. All that religion that you've been taught your whole life, and then it fails you. And you wonder where this God is at that's supposed to love you. Well, again, as we've talked the last few Sundays, you can't question the love of God because God sent his only son that we would not perish. So the love of God is a universal love in sending his son so that we would have an opportunity to not perish. So the love of God is not based upon how your life is going, but it's based upon the fact that he took humanity, the sin of all men, upon himself. Jesus became sin. God turned his back upon him. He cried, why have you forsaken me, Father? Because he was sin. So that you and I would become his righteousness. And do not be conformed to this world. That's difficult today, isn't it? You've got people telling you how to raise your kids, what you can teach your kids and what you can't teach your kids. I wore a tie to work this week, and it happened to be a dog tie. A dog happened to be sitting next to a Christmas tree, and he had a Christmas present, a bone in his mouth, And everybody had an absolute fit, including my wife, saying, "What? You can't wear a Christmas. You can't wear a Christmas tie. It's not Christmas." I said, "Watch me. Why can't I wear that tie? Why do we do the things that the world tells us to do without looking at God's word?" And see, God's word, it releases me from this conforming of this world and this world telling me what I got to do and how I got to act. No, God's the only one that tells me what to do and how to act. Can't wear white. I know y'all get here saying that. Can't wear white after a certain day. Why? Isn't it just as good as it was the day before? But boy, you come to that certain day on June, whatever that day is, August 31st or whatever. But you know, September 1st, you can't wear white. Wow, what's going to happen? I'm going to drop dead? A bolting light's going to strike me? No, we become so conformed to the world and what they're telling us that we forget what God's telling us. Do not let this world entangle you in its sin. There's nothing that this world tells you, and there's nothing in this world that is right according to God. God has nothing to do with this world and its opinions. And yet, what do? We take the opinions of men. We take the opinions of the theologians. We take the opinions of those that have got their education from who's teaching these guys at the university? Men. And that's why you have all these different denominations. I don't see all the different denominations in the scripture. I see one God. I see one faith. I see one Lord. And I see one Spirit. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let this world tell you how to act. Don't let this world tell you what's okay and not okay. It's not right. But be transformed. Did y'all watch the movie Transformer? Where they run around as cards and all of a sudden they become robots. Huh? They became something completely different than what they appeared to be. God says we're to be transformed. Transformed by what, though? By the renewing of our mind. Wow. How do you get transformed by the renewing of your mind? What controls the mind? The heart. So if you don't have the right heart, then you can't be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So unless you're born again from above and become that new creature which God says he makes us into, which sets us apart, because now we have the heart of God and the mind of Christ. And the power of God through the Holy Spirit to live out what he's called us to live. Because we can't do it in the flesh. And that's where so many people struggle. Is they try to live this out. Well, this guy said I got to do this. And this guy said I got to do this. And this guy said I'd do this. I remember when I finally got saved out of religion. And I told God, I really don't care if anybody else goes to hell. I appreciate you saving me. And I really hate reading the Word of God. I really hate reading. I did it, and that's how I got faith, and that's how I was saved. I was taught by God, and he gave me the Holy Spirit and rebirthed me, but I don't like to read, and he put that spirit in me that's the only thing I can read now. And now I do care where people spend eternity. It's amazing how he transforms us into the removing of his mind for his purpose, you see. I never dreamed that I would be standing up here in a pulpit preaching. Why? I had a good job. Paid well. Pays better than this one, anyway. I mean, it's because it's his purpose. When you're born again and your thoughts change, you begin to look at what pleases him. You may not always please him. Again, if your life doesn't have a struggle, you better ask God why. Or if you can live contrary to God's word without any type of correction from the Holy Spirit, you've got to ask God why. Why is God not correcting me when his word says, I discipline those whom I love? So how can we live a life contrary to what what God's word says and live happily that way? See, remember, God loves us right where we're at, but that's where religion stops. The truth says, I love you where you're at, but I'm not going to leave you where I found you. So you can't remain with the same thoughts and the same desires and the same life. You see, what religion does is make you make a commitment to God. And you can't keep that commitment. You have no power to keep a commitment to God. And how do I know that? Because that was what the first covenant was about. It was about commitment. God said, I'm going to give you these Ten Commandments. I'm going to give you my laws and my ordinances. And how many times did the nation of Israel come together and say, oh, yes, Lord, we're going to commit ourselves to what you've told us. And it's just transient. And then as time goes on, what do? They fall back into the nature of man. When God destroyed the whole world, he left eight. Eight came through the flood. Why are we in the mess we are in today? Because the heart, he left the heart of man, the fleshly heart of man, he left it in them. So unless we're born again, like he told Nicodemus, we can't enter the kingdom of God. There's got to be that spiritual birth. There's got to be that circumcision of the heart, which is the total removal of flesh that allows us to be renewed. Why? So again, I love scripture because it goes on to tell us now why. What's the purpose of that? So that you may prove what the will of God is. And what is the will of God? That you believe him. And that you believe in his son. And you believe that he is and that he was. And that he is to come. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, it doesn't matter what our opinion is about God. God has written down clearly in his word what he wants us to believe about him. See, so many people pick up scripture to try to prove what they believe. Instead of picking up scripture and saying, God, show me what I'm to believe. It's a big difference. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to do 12 through 20. Paul says, all things are lawful for me. You see, what he's telling you here is that he wasn't saved based on his merit of keeping a law or keeping the commandments of God. But he's what saying that he was saved by grace. He was saved by mercy through faith. And so now the law has no bearing upon him. His salvation, his relationship to God is not based on keeping the law. See, there's a change going on here. Because they believe that unless they kept the total law, and then it's amazing. Again, man doesn't change. You see how the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the priests and the religious leaders started adding all this stuff to God's law? They began to interpret the law for the people and told the people how they had to live and what they had to do, and they themselves didn't keep the law. But they put a you see a lot of preachers do that. The church is... I'm sorry, folks, the church is not what God intended it to be today. What people are sick of is religion. And you've never experienced the relationship. And all you've had in your whole life is religion. You're going to come to the point where you're just sick of it. I want nothing to do with it. And all of a sudden, you've been deceived by Satan, thinking that that's what this is about. The relationship is nothing what you've been taught your whole life by man or any particular religion. I love how he says, but I will not be mastered by anything. He says, you know, I realize this. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I'm under mercy. But I have a responsibility. And we're going to look at that responsibility. See, food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food, but God's going to do away with both of those things. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. See, that's why that when that new birth experience is not taught and shared, and which is what the Bible teaches, we forget that we become the temple of God. It even says, did you not know that you are the temple of God? So where does God reside? He resides in you now. Before you're saved, he works upon you. After you're saved, he works within you. See, that working upon you is to bring you to that saving knowledge of who God is. And then once you are born again, then that Spirit works within you to perfect you, to kill the old nature within you, so that you can walk in a manner worthy of our calling, is what the Scripture says. Now, God has not only raised the Lord, but I love this. This is where I get encouraged when I read the Scripture each day. I come across verses like this at the right time. It's not the message. It's not K-Love that gives me inspiration, but it's the Word of God that should give you inspiration. Not K-Love, not the message. And so many times you hear, oh, if it wasn't for the message, if it wasn't for K-Love, I wouldn't have made it through. Well, you got religion. Now, God has not only raised the Lord, but he'll also raise us up by his power. When you try to raise your own self up by your own bootstraps, it's not going to happen for very long. A dog always returns to his own vomit. A sow goes back and wallers in the mud. So if there's not that born-again experience that has a new nature within you, then in time, you will return back to the old nature. And the old nature will eventually conquer out and win, because there's nothing there to kill it. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? See, we forget these are things that are not taught, that if we read these things before we go out that day, and when the temptations come, and then the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance of the things that we've read, that says, wait a minute, my body is a member of Christ. What am I going to do with it today? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh. What he's talking about is the biblical principle of us joining ourselves with the world. You can't bring the two together. You cannot have two masters. You will love one and hate the other. See, religion is trying to bring God and man together and get them to coexist in sin, and God accepting sin as we accept sin in our world today. We change the nomenclature so it doesn't sound so bad. It's still sin. And God is the only one that can call sin, sin. And he tells us what sin is. We don't get to determine if that's right or wrong. God has spoken and he has condemned all of mankind, because we all fall short of his glory. And all of us are guilty. We forget these things because we don't read all the Scriptures. A lot's left out by man. And when you get into the deep parts of the Scripture, it begins to make us question and wonder. He goes on to say, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple? Oh, here it is. Is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. Remember when I told the fathers, you want your household to be in order? Then you let the members of your household know that you're under subjection to Almighty God. And let them see you read the scripture. Let them see you take instruction from the Lord. Let them see you turn down jobs that interfere with the family, that maybe it would make the family more comfortable. See, we want to be comfortable, don't we? And we think we got to have all the things of this world that tell us if we don't have them that we're not comfortable. We don't have the fancy sunglasses, chains around our neck, the hippest clothes, the appropriate ties. Then we just don't fit in. Guess what? I don't fit in. And guess what? I'm okay with that. Finally, it took all these years for God to bring me to that point that I don't have to. I wish somebody had taught me this instead of I grew up in religion. I grew up in just go on mission trips. Go for Hungry for Humanity and do all these humanitarian efforts. And boy, I thought that was what it was, and I came so sick of it. I said, God, if this is all it is, I don't want any of it. And he literally took me out of church. And I'll put church in parentheses because it was no church. It was a bunch of people that got together teaching a bunch of religious stuff. But when I began to hear God and he took me out of that, he freed me from all of that. And through the hard knocks of life, because I'm a stubborn old mule, and it took me a long time to figure out that what God's word says is going to come to pass. Got a lot of wounds that I didn't have to get if somebody would have just told me truth, but I couldn't find anybody to tell me truth except God. Everybody wanted to make what I was doing okay, and it wasn't okay. I went and talked to a preacher one time. I doubted myself. I don't know that I'm saved. See, I heard a preacher say that not everyone, in Matthew chapter 7, he says, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God. And these people begin to say, but look what I did for you. I cast out demons in your name. I performed miracles in your name. And they stood before me, says, depart from me, I never knew you. And he opened my eyes, and that ate at my soul. And he took me out of going to that religious place. And he took me to a quiet place where I read the scriptures. And I knelt down on the bed with my wife in our knees, and I asked her, are we children of God or are we not? I said, I got to know. I'd rather end my life right now than to continue on the way I'm living and wondering. And that's what religion brings you to. That's what religion does to you. And we sit on the bed and we prayed, God, you got to know, are we your children or not? Let me know. And I got his word out, and I began to read it for myself. And I said, God, teach me through your word. And 8 months later, he saves me. He wakes me up from a nap. I was supposed to be in a deacon's meeting, and I didn't go because I was frustrated with all that was going on at the church and all the hypocrisy that was going on in the church. Because I knew that it couldn't be right. I was reading scripture, and what I was seeing practiced out was not right. And he woke me up, and that Spirit of God came in me, and I was born again. And I called my preacher, and I told him, he said, well, what do I got? Well, see, I was the deacon of a church. I was teaching 8th grade Sunday school class. I was president of the Baptist Young Men. Went on a Tuesday every night, went on visitation and took people down the Roman road, convinced them that they were saved, that they were lost, and shook their hand and told them they were in the kingdom of God. What right do I have to offer salvation to anyone? See, what God taught me is that only his right. It's his right. See, being saved from religion, I think, is probably a greater task than being lost and saved. because Satan comes in and blinds us that we're okay with all the humanitarian efforts that we're doing. See, it's not a humanitarian effort. It's about being recreated, becoming a new creature. A month later, my wife wakes me up in the middle of the night crying. She says, I just got saved. God answers those who come to him with a pure heart. But when we allow religion to make us prideful, we're going to live a miserable life and wondering where God is. And religion will always let you down. My life hasn't been perfect. I've had back surgeries and all kinds of stuff and going on. I got a numb foot. I'm preaching the word of God. I shouldn't have a numb foot, should I? God ought to heal my leg. He ain't going to heal my leg. I got a numb foot. It reminds me that he's in control. See, the amazing thing is how the outer man is decaying, but the inner man is being renewed day by day because it's a day-by-day thing. And that's what a relationship is. It's not me trying to please God. It's God doing something for me, and then he pleases himself through the work he does through me.